Welcome to the Faith Connection with Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio, Texas.
Our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 16, y'all. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. I will read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, it reads as thus. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the powers of hell will not conquer it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. I want to encourage our hearts on this 13-year anniversary that we're built to last. Built to last. So how many times have you heard that expression, "Oh, they don't make things like they used to"? Oh, come on. How many times have you used that expression yourself? "Oh, they don't make things like they used to"? How about those household appliances, refrigerators and washers and dryers, them old sturdy ones that used to last forever? They don't make them like that anymore. Oh, come on, somebody. I think we've had our washer and dryer now for maybe 7, 8, 9 years, and so we, not that long, and we still had repair. We had longer than that? Okay, well, God has blessed us. Because some of y'all remember, though, I mean, when you could have a washer dry for 20, 25 years, and that rascal, they just keep on rolling. They just keep on, not anymore. You got to call somebody to come fix it. What about these cars that we drive? Brother Aaron, they don't make them like they used to. I mean, you can let the hood up, and there's the engine. There's the transmission. You know, there's the water pump. There's the distributor cap. I can change the oil on this. You look under the hood now, and all you see is plastic. They got everything covered, y'all. All of this technology, it's difficult to work on. They don't make them like they used to. 150,000 miles, that was nothing. If you get a good 100,000 miles out of some of these cars, you doing good. That's why you ought to be thankful for them 5-year warranties that you get on them now. Because they don't make them like they used to. Oh, come on. What about the house that you live in? Oh, we love our houses, and we know how much money we paid for these houses. But I remember when they made houses sturdy and strong, y'all. They built to last is what I'm talking about. They don't make them like they used to. That a lot of stuff that we think about today, that they don't make it like they used to, that it's not really built to last. And so again, as we celebrate these 13 years of the church family, I want to let y'all know we were built to last. And hallelujah. And how do you know that, preacher? Because the church of Jesus Christ is built to last. So I can remember when we were talked about, but we're still here, that we were put out of a place of worship at a hotel, but we're still here. Amen. That we had to deal with the pressure of finding another location in a hurry. And by God's grace, we did, and we are here. That we've had to deal with the internal pressures of the financial challenges that we've had to deal with throughout the years, but we are still here. That we've had to deal with the issues of loss and pain of our loved ones from the congregation, but we are still here. Y'all, we had to deal with the pandemic. We had to deal with COVID, y'all, when the doors were locked and folk weren't even in the church. But we are still here. And we're here by the grace and the power of God that we were built to last, y'all. The church of Jesus Christ was built to last. This is our story. And through it all, y'all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. We've learned to trust in God. We're leaning and depending upon him and upon his power. But we have to understand that the church, y'all, it's not a building. Buildings can fall apart. That is not just an organization. That organizations crumble. That the church is, in fact, a living organism. Comprised of the people of God. Did you hear what I said? The people of God that make the church. That if you are a born-again believer, you are a part of the church. There is the local church. There is the universal church. Perhaps you are a member of Living Faith Community Church. But if you are a born-again believer, you are a member of the church of Jesus Christ. A living organism that will last for all eternity. And so perhaps you're here today and maybe you feel like giving up. You feel like throwing in the towel. That you've stood all you can stand and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I want to let you know that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. As a true child of God, the Spirit of God is on the inside and drives you and unctions you to keep on moving regardless of what you're going through, that you are a part of the church. The church is made of people. It's not just a building. And we're built to last from here to eternity. So in that context of our lesson for today, listen, Jesus and his disciples, y'all, they are experiencing extreme opposition from the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What's interesting about the context is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees really didn't care for each other. So you got to get the image. Here are these two factions, these two groups that come together to attack Jesus. It's a wonder. It's a phenomenon that they work together to get to Jesus. That the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they interpreted the law differently. They saw angels and resurrection differently. Their involvement in government was different. They saw the Messiah differently. Their beliefs were diametrically opposed to each other. Yet here they come together to attack and try to kill Jesus. Now you know you must have something going on. You stir in the pot when folk that don't like each other come together to get you. You hear what I'm saying to you today? Folk that don't even like each other, they can't stand one another, but they can't stand you more. And they'll come together to try to take you down. But by the grace and the power of God, God is good. So Jesus, he removes himself from this crowd of haters. He goes away, the text lets us know, to a place called Caesarea Philippi. This was a Gentile city. So he gets away from the haters to this Gentile city. You gotta catch the image. You gotta catch the picture. It's a place of pagan worship. That he goes away from the religiosity of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the pious and uppity people. And he goes away to the Gentiles, to the non-God worshipers. And it's in that place that he finds peace and finds a place of retreat with his disciples. Shouldn't the house of God? Shouldn't be around being around God's people. Yeah. Yeah. Be the place that you ought to be able to find rest and retreat. I just wonder how many people in the world today say maybe they find more rest and peace at the club because they ain't being judged and talked about. Shouldn't the house of God? I'm not God's people. that we're to love one another. Shouldn't this be the place where that we could collectively come together and love one another, not be judged, not be put down, not be opposed and talked about, not to be backstabbed? But here they are, they go to this Gentile place, pagan worshipers, and there Jesus has one of his last retreats with his disciples. And he says these words, "Who do people say I am?" It's one of the most profound questions that we see in all of Scripture. But these verses confirm the identity of Jesus Christ, of who he is. But it also discloses the true nature of the church of Jesus Christ, the living organism, the people of Jesus Christ. It discloses who we are, triumphant and victorious and built to last. What makes the church lasting? What makes any church robust and strong? I'm glad you want to know today. What makes Living Faith what it is today, while we are here today? I'm glad you want to know. I think the text lets us know a few things. Based upon the text, I think the first thing we see this is that we're built to last because of the divine conception of the church. Look again at verses 13 through 17, the divine conception of the church. Jesus says again, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Now you got to get this. Jesus is not asking his disciples this because he's insecure. That oftentimes us folk, what they saying about me? We do that out of insecurity, don't we? Come on, y'all. What they saying about me? Because reality, we want to be liked by everybody. But Jesus is not, he's not insecure, y'all. We want to be liked, and sometimes we're afraid of what people might be thinking about us, that, hey, you can spill the tea as long as you don't spill the tea on me. And so they reply, y'all, with these complimentary titles. "Oh, Jesus, some of them out there saying that you are John the Baptist," which, if you remember, Herod the Great, that he was the one that had John the Baptist killed, and he's thinking like, "Oh, this dude came back from the dead." The some said he was John the Baptist, and some said perhaps it's Elijah. And now Elijah was the Old Testament forerunner of John the Baptist, because the Bible says that John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah. So they're thinking maybe not Elijah has come back from the dead in the person of Jesus Christ. Others say he's Jeremiah. Jeremiah, that great prophet of judgment and repentance. Or maybe he's another prophet. Yeah, we like to be compared to great people. But Mike, some say maybe, you know, maybe I look like Denzel, you know. We love to be compared to great people. Whether it's a person in sports, whether it's a person in entertainment, whatever it is, to say it makes us feel good on the inside. Yeah, but for Jesus, this didn't even equate. That the Hebrew writer said he's greater than Moses. That Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than any prophet. So there is no man on earth, no person on earth that we can compare Jesus to. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. And so Jesus says again, now, look, I need to press y'all a little bit harder than that. This one, I'm pressing y'all this morning. I'm pressing y'all, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? For real, though. Who do y'all say Jesus is? How about on this side of the room? Who do you say he is? I'm not talking about the fact that you say, well, he's Jesus. Just slow it down real quick. Slow it down. Look at your life. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, who do you say Jesus is? Look at how you treat other folk. Now, who do you say Jesus is? Look at how much time you spend with him. Who do you say Jesus is? Look at what do you do when other folk aren't watching, but he's watching? Who do you say Jesus is? That's the question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks for the whole group. And for the first time here in Matthew, we unambiguously that Peter makes the declaration that you are the Christ, you are Christos, you are the Messiah, you are the one sent from God to save people. That you are the Christ. That you are the Son of the living God. That Jesus, you're not like those pagan dead wooden gods, those figures that other people worship. You are the Son of the living God. You are the one that the prophet spoke about of old times. What does Jesus say? You go on to the end of the verses. Jesus said, yeah, that's true. Now, Peter, he understands uniquely who Jesus is, but he doesn't fully understand. That's why Jesus said at the end, listen, don't tell nobody. That ain't for us today. If you know who Jesus is, you need to be telling somebody. If you've done anything for you, you need to be telling somebody. If you know who Jesus is, you need to be. But he was saying that to them because, listen, they did not fully understand the work of the Messiah. Up to this point, they still thought that he would be this conquering king, that he would come and he would destroy the Roman Empire. They really did not understand who Jesus truly was. They had an inkling. They had somewhat of an understanding and appreciation, but they did not know. So what are you saying in all of this, preacher? I'm talking about the divine conception of the church. Listen, our new birth, our divine conception is based upon our confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Can you say this morning that Jesus Christ, he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one sent from God, that he is your Lord, that he is your Savior, that he is your peace, that he is, can you really say that this morning? That this is our great confession. And our personal conviction and confession bring a divine conception, a new birth, a new start, a new life. And it's not by human means, the text said. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. The flesh and blood did not reveal this to Peter, did not reveal it to the disciples. It only came by the work of the Holy Spirit, y'all. And the Holy Spirit reveals this truth to us, and we become the children of God. And as the children of God, listen, we last from here to eternity. That the Holy Spirit snatches us and keeps us, and we're safe in him. If you are a born-again believer and you're in the house today, listen, you are built to last, y'all. In a lasting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ from here to eternity. You are his and he is yours, but you must believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is and was. Do you believe that today? I'm talking for real though. Can you see, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died for my sins. I'm out cussing everybody out. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I ask you to do? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? I'm glad that you do. The next thing we see is the sovereign and solid construction of the church. Y'all look at verse 18. I'm going to read that one. So it says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So there's a whole lot of controversy today. Y'all allow me just to teach for a minute. A lot of controversy about this text. There's like this conundrum of confusion about these next few verses. Controversy about Jesus, about Peter being the rock. Here we see again the word church too, the ecclesia, the gathering. You know the word church, the word ecclesia was not originally a religious term. We see church as a religious term. That they didn't understand it that way. To say church, to say ecclesia, just that meant a group of people. But they came to understand it more as a group of Jesus people, that the group of God's people. And we are the church. We are the group of the Jesus people. We are the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people. That's why I'm so glad when we gather together in church, y'all. Because we gather together as God's people. That we are the ecclesia. We're a local church, but we are the church. We are God's people. But what is this whole thing about? Was the church, was it founded on Peter? Come on, Bible readers. Was it Peter? No, definitely not. As some religious groups think, it was Peter the first in this line of succession of popes? Did the popes of today, does their line go all the way back to Peter? Is that what it is? Is Peter the foundation of the church? Certainly he is not. So the word Peter is Petros. It means little rock. Versus rock, Petra. So Jesus is using a play on words. Peter, your name is rock. Petra, little rock. But there is a bigger rock. There is a foundational rock. And that foundational rock is Jesus Christ himself, that he is the chief cornerstone, that he is the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That Jesus is the rock. He didn't say, Peter, I'm building the church on, the church is going to be built on you. He says, I will build my church. He didn't say, Peter, you will build my, he said, I will build my church. Again, that Jesus is the cornerstone. Y'all, when you get, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And Peter is talking to new believers. He says this, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. That the church belongs to Jesus, and he builds it. And so the construction is strong. It's solid, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, listen, there is no other foundation we can build on than that of Jesus Christ. That's a part of the mantra of this church, that we're building it on the foundation of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he taught. Again, the church, we're not talking about a building. The building is just a sheep shed. People are the church. The church is people. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about every born-again believer, that we are the church. Jesus builds the church out of spiritual stones, out of living stones, out of strong stones, that the material that he builds the church out is people like you and me. And if you like me, we can be honest that perhaps we had a sordid past. But when we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that he changes us, he's changing us from the inside out, that we are born again, believe we're not perfect, but we are the living stones in which he's building the church. And the word says, and the gates, those gates represent power. The gates of hell cannot conquer it. Listen, I figured out something. Hell might be in the church, and guess how it gets here? Can I ask you, what did you bring in this morning?
Come on now.
I'm for real though. What'd you bring in this morning? That hell might be in the church, but hell cannot conquer the church. The powers of Hades, the powers of Satan cannot destroy the church. The church was built to last. So get this. Slow it down for me. So the church. It's people, and you individually are a part of the local church, and if you are a part of the local church, what does it say about Satan's ability to conquer and destroy you? So many believers live in fear of what they think the devil can do to them. He can do no more than God says he can do to you. Don't you understand and know that? Don't you understand and know who you are in Christ Jesus? That you are his beloved. That you are born again by the power of God, by his spirit. You are somebody. So you don't have to walk in fear of what the devil can do to you. That you can lay down at night and you can go to sleep. So understand who you are. If you are a part of the church, then Satan can do no more to you than God would allow him to do to you. And like Isaiah's message of restoration to Jerusalem, he says this: no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. And so we have to understand that God is in charge. That he has command. He has command of the weapons and those who hold the weapons. And he can destroy the weapons at any time. That our victory is in him. Our victory belongs to us because of him and what he's done for us. And through Jesus, the final enemy of death is defeated. And we have eternal life. So there's no power in hell that can prevail against you. You got to know that. But here's what's sad. It's not the gates of hell that bother me that prevail against us. It's about not understanding our true purpose as a church. Yeah. That we have to understand our true purpose and our true mission, our reason for existence. That we're built to last because we have a lasting assignment from God. And so here's the last point I want to bring up to you. The singular commission of the church, verses 19 through 20. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And let me break that down. Like I said, lots of discussion and thoughts about this text. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When we think about keys, what do we think about? We think about unlocking doors. You need a key to unlock the door to the house. You need a key to just kind of get into the car. You don't have to use the key you just push a button now once you get into the car. You need a key to open up the mailbox. Keys open up. They unlock certain things. The keys unlock locks, and they let you into a particular area. Now understand something. Jesus is not saying, listen, I'm giving you the keys, Peter and disciples, so you can determine who you're going to let in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you can come in? No, you can't come in. Y'all, if that were the truth, we'd all be messed up. If God gave you some keys and told you, hey, listen, you determine who can come into heaven, well, we'd be messed up folk, wouldn't we? Yeah, come on, y'all, there's some folk y'all just wouldn't let in just because you don't like them. They could be God-fearing, God, I just don't like you. You ain't coming in. But guess what? We don't have a heaven or a hell to put people in. Did you hear what I said? We don't have a heaven or a hell to put people in. So what is Jesus talking about in the text? I'm so glad y'all just allowed me to teach and to help us to understand the text and what it means. So the key symbolizes its knowledge or truth. Some historians say the priest in the day would wear a rope around them and they have a key at the end. It was not to unlock any particular door, but it symbolized something. It symbolized knowledge and truth. And so what is this basic knowledge? What is this basic truth that they would have the key? What is it all about? It's the key to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter, I'm giving you, I'm giving the other disciples, I'm giving other believers for all a key to allow other people to be able to get into the kingdom of entrance by promoting the gospel, by presenting the gospel to them, by telling them about Jesus Christ. Think about Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus says, I've been given all authority for you to go and make disciples, teaching them that they might obey me, that we have grace in our gums, that we have power in our mouths to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. Will they accept it? Maybe. Maybe or not. But that's the power and authority that's been given to us. I believe, y'all, that there's power in the gospel. I've watched the gospel of Jesus Christ. In witnessing to another person, I've watched the power of the gospel transform lives in a very moment. When you begin to tell them who Jesus is and what he did for them and how much he loves them, I've seen people transform in the moment by the power of the gospel. It's not Kevin Love, it's the power of the gospel to change lives. And that's our singular commission. To go and to make disciples. Now y'all didn't get to this portion of loosing and binding or forbidding or permitting, and we get And we get off our track, loosing and binding and loose him, you know, loose him, devil, you know. I don't mean to be cynical, but that's not what the text is teaching. That's not what it's teaching. This loosing and binding, or forbidding or permitting, that this is the authority based upon Jesus' teaching, based upon God's word, to establish what's acceptable, the acceptable standards in God's house, amongst God's people. It's about the principles that we teach. That God says to Peter, to the disciples, the rest of the disciples, for church leaders today, that I've given to you the authority, I've given you the power to say what will happen in churches, what will happen amongst church people, because I've already given you the principles. And so when the Bible talks about what's being loosed here on earth is loosed in heaven, understand it's already been loosed in heaven. Because when we establish principles in the church, it's based upon the word of God. It's based upon God who is in heaven. So certainly it will be loosed on earth. And whatever we permit, listen, it's already permitted because God said it's already so. I'm trying to teach y'all something today. That there are standards and principles that we have to live by. And God has already given us those standards and those principles in his word. And as long as we abide by his word, Living Faith Community Church, we're where God wants us to be. Oh, that's good teaching. That was real good. That was real good, y'all. So don't be going around laying hands. Get out of here, devil. But God has established principles that we must live by. What's permitted on earth has already been permitted in heaven. Because heaven's standard is the origin of earth's standards. And the functions of the church are worship and fellowship and evangelism and discipleship. And they're all based upon, guess what? The principles of God's word. So it's important that we use the right keys, Living Faith. I'm talking to y'all today. That we use the right keys. The right keys are based upon the principles of God's word. So I remember some time ago, I was trying to get into the church location, the 1715 Grandstand. Pull up to the church, I'm by myself, I'm trying to get in the church, y'all, and I'm trying to get in. I put my key in, and the key's not working, y'all. I'm trying to get in, the key is not working. I said praise words, of course, but I can't get in, y'all. I'm like, what's wrong with this door? What's wrong with this key? Come to find out, y'all, listen, I was using the wrong key. Come on. I'm trying to get into the church, but I'm using the wrong key. There are people that are trying to get into the church, but has the church given them the right key? Come on, listen to me. Are we giving people the right key to get in? Listen, the key of works is not the right key. The key of perfection is not the right key. The principle of legalism is not the right. Political affiliation is not the right key. Name it and claim it is not the right key. Feel good is not the right key. Jesus is the right key. He's the foundation. That's why people go around saying, well, God don't work for me. Jesus, he's not working for me. The Bible is not working for me. The kind of faith that's not working for me. Are we offering people the right keys based upon the principles of Jesus' teaching, which is the word of God? We got to offer people the right key, and we got to use the right key in our own situation as well. Because we want what we want and do what we do. And so here's how we live sometimes, y'all. And I'm just being honest. We want to do things the way we want to do on one hand, and we got the key, the principles on the other hand. Yeah. And somehow we think the principles of God's word is going to work with what we want to do, and it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That we have to use the principles and the teachings of God's word, and we have to obey God's word for the keys to actually work. I'm about done, y'all. So the church is built to last. Because we have a divine conception. That we're born by the Spirit, the living God, born because of what Jesus did. Our origins are in him. That we have a sovereign and solid construction. Jesus is the foundation of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. The church is built to last because of our singular commission. And that's to tell people about Jesus. The church is built to last because the church is built tough. So for over 70 years, some of y'all remember the toy company Tonka. That they built the world's favorite truck. And today, y'all, the Tonka truck is still in commission. That is still in operation. Some of y'all remember the Tonka truck. And y'all know what? The Tonka company has gone through some turmoil. They've gone through some troubles. They've gone through some changes in CEOs. But the Tonka company is still alive and well today. And they have this motto. And they put this familiar hashtag symbol in front of it. It's called hashtag built tough. So in the 70s, they featured this commercial. Some of y'all perhaps still remember this commercial where the mighty Tonka dump truck was displayed. It looks like this right here. So in the commercial, some of y'all remember that they were asking kids, well, what happened to your toys? And they would say, well, an elephant stepped on it. So in the commercial, they bring a live elephant, and he puts his foot down on the Tonka dump truck. And it doesn't bend, it doesn't break, and because Tonka built that truck to last. They said something that's profound. They said at the end of that commercial, a toy shouldn't break because a child plays with it. I want to let you know, listen, the devil's not out for play. He's out to take you out. But if you are a child of God, that you are built to last. The Tonka truck comes here. Listen, their trucks keep rolling along. And I came to let you know that we are the church of the living God. And we are built to last, and we just rolling along. Divisions may come our way, but we rolling along, y'all. Troubles may come our way, but we are rolling along, y'all. Pressures come our way, but we keep on rolling along. Problems come our way, but we keep on rolling along. Heartache comes our way, but we keep on rolling along. We keep on rolling along in worship, rolling along in praise, rolling along in lifting our hands, rolling along in evangelism, rolling along that we're built to last, y'all. Hell can't have us. We are built to last. If you are a child of God, you are built to last. Hell can't have. Keep on rolling. Keep on moving. Keep on serving. Keep on worshiping. Keep on praising. You are built to last. Keep on rolling, y'all. Keep on moving. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving out. You were built to last. Hallelujah and amen. You are somebody. You are a child of God. You are part of the church of the living God. And you were built. You were built. You were built, y'all. You were built like the Tonka truck. You were built to last. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, can we praise God one more time? Come on, y'all. Come on. That we're built to represent Jesus Christ. That we're built tough to live for him. That no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Because God said so. That you're built to last. And some of you, you're going through some stuff in your life right now that you never thought you'd have to go through. And you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But you got to know who you are in Christ. That he placed his spirit on the inside of you. And even when you want to give up, the spirit on the inside won't let you give up. You are a part of the church of the living God. The church is not a building with lights and a roof and wall. The church is the people of God who have been built by God and built to last from here to eternity. So if you're here today, y'all, listen, you feel like your faith is waning, that it's falling apart, ask yourself this question. What do you believe about Jesus? Who do you say he is? And not just with your lips, but with your life and with your lifestyle. Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. But I refuse to let go of what doesn't please you. Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. But I know you're going to excuse me and the way I live because it's me. No. Living faith, what do we believe about Jesus? If we're going to continue to reach this community for the cause of Christ, we have to know what we believe about Jesus Christ and what we believe about his word. We have to know that we know that we know that he is the Christ, that he's the one that came and died for us. 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hand. We got to believe that and know that. And our power, our existence as a church stems from this confession and from this truth. If God is for you, who can be against you? That God certainly is for you. And so if you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to extend to you this opportunity to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this word today. That as your children, that you build us to last from here to eternity. That you place the power of your spirit on the inside of us. As we journey through this life, through the ups and the downs, the crooked paths, the potholes, oh God, that you're taking us from here to eternity, that we're built to last, that nothing can come against us that you don't already know about. And God, you prepare our hearts that our bodies may be destroyed, but our spirits will live in eternity with you forever, oh God, that we're built to last for eternity. God, I pray right now for that person that may not know you in the pardon of their sins, that they come to know you in this very moment. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. That we admit that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. That we believe in this moment that Jesus is the Christ, that he's Christos, he's the Messiah. That he is the Son of the living God. Who the Bible declares that he came down to earth. He walked and talked amongst people. He died on Calvary's cross, but he didn't stay dead. That 3 days later, he got back up with all power. It's this Jesus that we confess, oh God, as both Lord and Savior of our lives. We repent, we turn from our sins, we turn to Jesus. It's only through him that we can be saved and built to last for eternity. So speak to our heart right now, we pray. Again, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If there's someone here today, this very moment, listen, our ushers are standing in the aisle. They're standing in the aisle. If you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you today to into the saving relationship. They're standing in the aisle. They'll escort you to room number one across the hallway, gather some information from you. If you are already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church, anywhere, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church of choice, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. And as I always say, not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God, and we worship and adore him. Either category, believing for the first time, already a born-again believer, won't you come? The ushers have their hands extended. To those that are listening in online, you have an opportunity as well. There is a form that's online in this very moment. If you click on that link, fill out that form, our new member ministry team will get that. We'll contact you, gather some more information perhaps, but we'll welcome you with open arms. So you can fill out that form today if you are online. There's an opportunity for you as well.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.